We're going to have a little different service this morning. We're going to talk about motorcycles. Now, Harley fans, don't get upset. I have a Harley jacket too. But we're talking about a different kind of motorcycle this morning. Is that all right with y'all? Y'all like? Anybody in here like motorcycles besides me? Look at all the motorcycles. We ought to have us a bike run sometime, huh? We could just all come in our riding stuff and after service, start our bikes and go somewhere. That wasn't too much support there. maybe not. But not today. Yeah. All right. Yeah. I have some people I want to introduce to you this morning, and I want them to share with you a little bit and tell you about a ministry and some things that are going on that we want to support and we want to get behind and help. And I want to tell you how it has come to be and why. You'll see. But before I do, I'd like for you to turn to Galatians, please, the 6th chapter. Galatians chapter 6. We were just there, right? Good chapter. We are in the Christmas season. What is the word Christmas? Where does it come from? I think sometimes we say Chris so much that we forget that it's Christ, right? Most of the word is Christ, the Christ, right? And there are millions of people who observe Christmas who don't know the Lord. They don't even know what the word Christ means. To them, it's just a holiday. Time off, time to exchange presents. To a lot of business owners, it's just a time to make money, and you know that kind of thing. But Christmas, the Christmas, the season is about the Christ, right? The observation. It's about the Messiah, the one who is the gift of God, which is why we should give gifts. Sometimes people, you know, they say, well, it's all too commercial for me, and I'm just not going to give any gifts. Well, you're really missing the whole deal then. Because the whole thing is about how that God gave us a gift. The gift. Amen. The scripture said, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable, inexpressible gift. Right? And somebody said, yeah, but that's giving gifts to each other. Is not giving them to him. Wrong again. He takes it personally. Didn't he say, inasmuch as you've done it unto the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. So you can give the Lord some wonderful gifts this season. Amen. And bless him in numerous ways. And the greatest expression of love is giving. No question about it. The greatest, the New Testament command is to love, and the greatest expression of love is giving. So does it get much more important than giving?
No.
It doesn't. Does it get much more important than love?
No.
God is love. Does it get much more important than God?
No.
So these things are appropriate. But I want you to notice something else in connection with the Christ. In Galatians 6... and verse 1, brethren, if any man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens. And that word, the word burden, don't just look at that in a negative context only. Basically, the word burden means load. Load. Bear one another's loads, and so fulfill the law of what? Christ. Well, if you understand Christmas, you ought to know about the law of the Christ. What does Christmas mean? It's about the Christ. Well, what does the Christ mean? What is the Christ about? What is the law of Christ? It's right here. Can you see it? What is the law of Christ? Bear one another's burdens. Help each other. Is that right? And if you're pumped about serving God, then you're pumped about helping people. Cannot be any other way. Right? You're pumped about helping somebody. And if somebody has a load, you're interested in putting your shoulder to it and helping them deal with it. Amen. Amen? Or get it off of them. Yeah. Or get it taken care of, get it done. Is that right? Yeah. That is the law of Christmas. The law of Christmas. Are you with me? Bearing one another's burdens. Helping each other out. You know, Paul talked about individuals in Philippians 2, a lot of people he had had dealings with. He said, they all seek their own interests and not those of Christ Jesus. He was talking about religious people. You know, one thing you've got to watch, and this is something that I've noticed through the years, and I've said in my heart, I'm not going to do it. I've said in my heart, our ministry's not going to do it, and this church is not going to do it. And that is become self-centered. It is unchristlike. And people in ministry, preachers have to watch it. And people involved in different forms of ministry, they have to watch it because they spend all their time on their ministry. They don't see they're being self-centered. Well, we spend all our time on our church. Notice the key word, our. Well, I'm working in my ministry all the time. Yeah, but if you never help somebody else's ministry, if you're never helping somebody else's church, you're selfish. And you're self-centered even though you're working for the Lord all the time. Because there are other churches besides ours. The body of Christ is a whole lot bigger than us. There's a lot of people out there doing good work. Right? And we're not going to have fishbowl vision. Right? We're not just going to believe for our paid in full, and that's all we ever do. Right? We have helped other people. I've taken seed with me when I've gone to other places from this church. You remember that? And sowed it, and that's an ongoing thing. Well, last week I gave you, do you remember I gave you the thing the Lord gave me in the nighttime about being hungry for Him? I don't think I gave you this, though. He also gave me this, and I wrote it down. Remember the Lord told us some time back, He said, I'm growing this church up quickly. Remember that? This He said to me in connection with that. He said, I am laying the foundation to reach many. I wrote it down. That's what's been happening the last few months, and it's going to keep going on. He's laying a foundation. How many know if you're going to build a big building, you don't just go out there and throw something up. You got to start digging. Is that right? And the bigger the building, the deeper you got to dig, and the longer work it takes on the foundation before you start up. On huge buildings, people will ride by for months and go, what are they doing out there? I mean, they're pouring millions of dollars into the ground. They just keep digging and digging and pouring concrete. But when they start going up, they can go up, 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 right? Because the foundation will bear it. Well, the Lord dealt with me. He said, I wrote it down. He said, I'm laying the foundation to reach many. And this also, he told me right behind it. He said, I'm building a base to send and support many. Hallelujah. I'm laying a foundation, the foundation, to reach many, and I'm building a base to send and support many. Hallelujah. How many think that's what a church ought to be? Where many could come in and get fed, but also you could reach out and help and feed many. And then you could send and support many. Right? It ought to be that. Well, I want to introduce some people to you this morning and tell you how this came to be. Would y'all come up? The Kozads. Come right on up, please. Now, make sure I get your names right again. It's Kevin and Casey. I wanted to say Cassie, but it's Casey. Casey and Kevin Kozad. Now, the reason I have to get that right is because we don't really know each other that well. It's an interesting thing, though. Now, Kevin, was it both of y'all or just you was a student? Both of y'all were students in our classes and the others at Rhema back in... Get Kevin a microphone, please. Back in 1995. Same time Phyllis went to school. Same time Jan went to school. And I was an instructor there, and they were in my classes. And that was how many years ago? Huh? 8 years ago. Is that right? And I didn't know you guys. Some of those classes were over 1,000 people. You understand? So it was real easy for somebody to go through a class and not know the instructor personally. That was the rule more than the exception. And the only way really I came to meet you, you came and spoke to me one time after class, didn't you?
Actually, it was during a teacher's lab.
Okay, and, that's right.
I think we had I don't know, it was like a warning or something, you know, the storm warning that the school just made everybody get out of class.
We had to evacuate.
Yes, we had to evacuate. And we just happened to walk out the door at the same time, and I just spoke to you, and we started talking.
Okay.
That was the only time, I guess, that we spoke, other than, you know, after lab, you know, you would evaluate us and stuff.
Right. We just spoke for a couple of minutes on the sidewalk.
Yes.
And then another occasion... You gave me this jacket.
Yes.
Is that right?
Yes, sir.
When was that?
Well, actually, that at the time that you mentioned that we had to evacuate,
uh-huh.
I had a jacket on similar to that one, and you'd mentioned you liked it. And
yeah.
You mentioned I think you had maybe a gold wing
right.
or something at the time, and okay.
Well, at the time I did.
Yeah.
Now she has it.
And,
I lost it.
Yeah.
Huh? You claiming my jacket now, too. She really does think she's God's favorite. But anyway, I guess that was about the only two times that you and I crossed path or spoke 8 years ago.
Yes, sir. After lab one evening, I brought you the jacket.
Yeah. Why did you bring me the jacket?
You mentioned it that day.
Yeah.
You just commented that you liked it.
Yeah.
You know, that's really neat.
Okay.
So I just went to, like, the next day or whatever to a Honda shop and ordered it.
Uh-huh.
And this was kind of towards the end of the year.
Right.
We only had, a couple of weeks left of school.
Yeah.
And right before graduation. And I probably one of the last days when it came in, I brought it to you.
So you had probably lots of money to buy jackets along in then? Or?
Actually, that jacket, it was about $150, and that was, actually, I had to pay some on it when I ordered it, and then a couple of weeks later, I paid some more.
Kind of a layaway deal.
I did a layaway plan.
Huh. Praise God. Well, man, I thank you. Appreciate it. This past year, now, that was 8 years ago, and we didn't know each other. I mean, that probably took all of 20 minutes, the both times that we're talking
sir.
About,
yeah.
you know. And so I hadn't seen these guys for 8 years since then. But this past year, I don't know, was it maybe 6 months ago or so, the Lord brought Kevin Kozad to my heart. And so I thought, well, Kevin Kozad. And then I had heard that you guys were involved in motocross things because you rode... in motocross before you came to Rhema?
Yes, sir. I rode up until professionally up until the end of 92, and then we came to Rhema in 92, 93, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I basically stopped racing to go to Rhema.
Right. Answer, you felt like you had a call on your
life.
Yes,
sir. Yeah. Our plan was, my plan was that I would be a famous motocross racer, and then, you know, and when I'm about 40, I would retire and go preach.
Then
you know?
Think about ministry.
Yeah, then think about it. But on the way home, just, you know, on the way home from a race one weekend, we just, you know, I said, it's time. It's time for us to go.
Uh-huh. And you guys were married at that time?
No, we were dating. And
dating.
We were planning on getting married and going on the road full-time racing.
Yeah.
And we were going to get married in 93 anyway. And to go on the road full-time. Because I was coming back and forth, you know, and not able to stay on the road full-time, you know. So we were going to get married at that time. So I stopped racing. We got married. And then instead of going on the road full-time racing, we went to Rhema.
Yeah. Now, when did you start racing motocross?
In 1985.
85.
Yes, sir.
How old would you have been at that point?
13.
13?
Yes, sir. 12 or 13.
And you must have been pretty good. You won some races.
Yes, sir. Yeah, actually, the last year as a pro, which was kind of a tough year, in the nation, I was 28.
Uh-huh. Pro.
Yes, sir, as a pro. But
amen.
I had kind of had a rough year that year.
Yeah. But most people don't make pro, right? I mean.
Yes, sir. Yeah. It was something in my family. My dad raced cars and, you know, being around it my whole life. And we just got involved into it. And, we were blessed. We did good. I got, you know, I started out racing and I wasn't saved or involved in church because, you know, my dad was, you know, he liked working on cars and racing, and that's what I grew up doing. That was life to us.
And I understand.
So, we were doing good. We had a fairly successful racing career.
Mm-hmm.
We had won some races and, yeah. It very, you know, you can make lots of money. I made a living at, you know, I was 18.
Mm-hmm.
But potential for the next year to make. You know, the top guys right now, base salary is anywhere from $700,000 to $2 million a year.
Wow.
Base. That's just for, and that's salary no matter what, whether you race a day. If you get hurt and don't race, you still get all that money.
That is good money.
That's base salary.
Great.
Yeah.
So now, when you guys came to Rhema, did you know for sure if you'd ever be racing again or not?
No, sir. I actually told Casey on the way home from a race. I said, "Well, this is, you know, I'll never race again. I'll never be a, you know." And so we basically sold everything but one motorcycle.
Uh-huh.
I'd had a real tricked out race bike, and I kept it. My dad wanted to keep it.
Uh-huh.
It was hard on my parents too. You know, they'd spent so much to do this, and I just come home one day and said, "We're going to Bible college." You know.
Yeah.
But it didn't go over very well.
I understand.
Them. But yeah, I sold everything that I had. I mean, everything. I give it away and I sold it.
Yeah.
And, you know, give my parents some money and, you know, they bought it all.
Yeah.
And, I didn't have, you know, I didn't keep anything with racing. I didn't get any magazines. And, you know, I didn't keep anything.
You just cut that off.
I cut it off. Mm. I didn't have any participation. We didn't watch it on TV. You know, we
I understand.
You know,
yeah.
I turned the channel. And, you know, I didn't have anything to do. And it's funny, the first week at Rhema, I was mowing grass. You know, one of the jobs you do. And a guy was out riding a motorcycle, like, just over on the other side of the road from me.
You could hear him.
I could hear him. And I was pushing the lawnmower.
You thought I could be doing that instead of this.
Yeah.
I understand. But you went to school. You obeyed God. You're willing to lay that down. And after you got out of school, eventually, apparently, the Lord has let you get back into, you guys get back into motocross.
Yes, sir. Yeah, we didn't have any plan on being back in motocross. We were actually youth pastors at a church for a couple of years. And we were, Lord had dealt with us that we'd only be there for a short time. But, you know, you're there, you get settled in, and you're happy. Things are growing, and you're beginning to buy stuff and, you know, have some debt and that nice paycheck. And everything involved in. So, yeah, a couple of years into that, we had had a couple local tracks that found out I was a minister and knew who I was and remembered me. And so they a couple of local tracks did races after church. Like, they wouldn't start till 12 or 1.
Mm-hmm.
And so they would ask me to come do a prayer. And so basically we would just go and pray, and then it just kind of led into more things like that. A couple other like enduro type races. They do church on Saturday night. They asked us to come do like a little, just a short church service and stuff like that. And then we kind of really had no ambition of doing that, you know. And then it just kind of got more and more, you know, more and more invitations, more and more opportunities. And still, you know, I really had no desire to do that, because, you know, my mind was, well, I'm older and I've missed racing for 4 years now, 5 years. And so I can't be that pro rider. I don't want to go do it anymore, you know. And but yeah, we both just kind of began to feel that unction to do that. And I come to her one day and I said, I think I'm going to resign from the church I'm going to do these races. She said, well, the Lord's been dealing with me that too. I've just been waiting for you to do that.
Is that right?
So we finished out, you know, our time at the church. We had several things planned, several activities for the youth plan. We finished that out and started the ministry, you know,
Praise
started
God.
This. And I got a job at a local motorcycle shop just to, you know, pay bills and to live. And we would travel every weekend. And we started in 97. All we could do was prayers. That when we would talk to the promoters and tell them what we wanted to do, they would say, well, you know, you can pray. So basically, almost for a year, all we did was pray at the races.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I never read the Bible to, you know, publicly. I never got up and read a scripture. I basically prayed.
Mm-hmm.
And then we began to do more and more things. You know, they would say, well, we'll give you a little more time. You know, because, you know, our prayer was, you know, we knew the Lord didn't send us to Rhema to, you know, and get the word, the knowledge that we had just to pray, which is important. But, you know,
right.
We wanted to teach the people. And so I guess a year or so of doing that, then we started being able to read like a devotion where we would just do read a scripture, maybe expound on it just a little bit, and then do a prayer. And we did that for probably another year. And you know, that was all we did. We drove across the country for 5 minutes of church, basically, where we read a scripture, we prayed, and we just hung out and loved on the people, you know. And to now where we carry our tents and chairs and sound system and everything.
Mm-hmm.
So it's definitely, you know, to where we had promoted. We actually do, I think I told you when we talked on the phone that we're doing a church service in the MGM Grand Arena now every year. That Clear Channel Entertainment, you've probably heard of Clear Channel Entertainment. They do all motorsports events. They asked us to come last year and asked us to come this year, and we did church inside the MGM Grand Casino.
That's in Las Vegas.
That's in Las Vegas,
yeah.
Yes, sir. And I thought they were not going to let me do it on a loudspeaker. Well, actually, the first year they didn't.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I said, you want me to just do it on loud? They said, no, you just go down there and do it. I said, that's fine. So this year, I got prepared to do it on the floor for the racers. They said, no, come up here. We give you a loudspeaker in that way. Because the racers could hear me down on the track.
Yeah.
We did it for them, but all the people in the stands, they couldn't hear.
I see.
And so this year, they said, well, just come up here in the stands and use all the PA system.
Uh-huh.
So this year we did it over the PA.
Good.
So,
good.
Oh, yeah, and we met an atheist there that weekend, too. That,
The what?
Weekend from England, yeah.
Yeah.
Because he saw, I had a shirt on that said MX is for Jesus.
Uh-huh.
And he saw us. We were walking through the casino. So actually in the MGM Grand Casino, right beside one of the bars that they have there,
yeah.
You know, that you have to walk by, you know what I mean, to get out of the place.
Sure.
In between the slot machines and the tables and the bar, we actually got to witness to a guy from England who didn't believe in any type of God. Or,
atheist.
Yeah. So.
But he's not so sure now.
He's not so sure now. Yeah, he left in tears.
Is that right?
Yeah.
God was dealing with him.
Yes.
Praise God.
Yes, sir.
Well, guys, I want y'all to take a few minutes and share. We're ready to show the your video presentation. Do you want to do that first and then
that
share a little bit? Okay.
Oh, I'm number 48 on the video.
On the video?
Yeah. Yes, on the video, the Yala Suzuki is me. And also a neat deal on the video is a number 98. He's on a Yamaha. He's actually one of the top prospects for the manufacturers right now. He actually turned down a deal this year to stay amateur another year to get better and to be more prepared. Great Christian family, and he's actually in the video, and they support our ministry. And,
okay.
we support them. You know, we do all we can for him. And this is amateur racing, too. We're geared towards amateur racing. But I think the video will help us get started, right, maybe to kind of see what we're doing.
Okay, so good. Guys, y'all are ready to show this? Well, we'll go ahead and be seated, and we can dim the lights. And let's watch this. This is their ministry, and then we'll let them tell you some more about it.
123 BPM.
Flooded by an ocean of some mixed emotions that got you down again.
Hello, my name is Kevin Cozad, and this is my wife Casey and my son Austin. We are a part of MXers for Jesus, the founders and president of MXers for Jesus. As an ordained minister, we are set up to carry the gospel of Jesus Christ to the motocross world. MXers for Jesus is an organization as we travel all over the United States. We travel from California all the way to Southern Florida to carry the gospel of Jesus Christ to the motorcycle industry. We're standing here this evening on Friday at Itchikani Motocross in Macon, Georgia. Within the next couple hours, 600 or so riders will begin to come into this facility with their families and friends, grandmothers and grandfathers, to spend this weekend racing. As they're here, we'll race on Sunday. And since they're away from home, we are here to provide church for them. MXers for Jesus, we come and set up and provide church for the families. As these riders race and travel all over the United States, they're away from home, which causes them to not be a part of their church or to not be able to be at church on Sunday morning. So MXers for Jesus is here to provide church for them. We set up tents and chairs, have a sound system, and people sing for us. And my wife and I and my son travel all over the United States to carry the gospel to Jesus Christ to these families. And we ask you to take this opportunity to watch this video and to see what motocross is all about and to see what MXers for Jesus is all about.
I like coming to these races. It's just so fun racing and all this competition, and just it's a good thing that we have church service from Kevin Cozad. Without that, I wouldn't be going to church, but thank God for him that we have church service.
I just want to say Kevin Cozad is probably the greatest person I know, and MXers for Jesus is about the best idea I know of, so go to his church services because he's awesome, man.
I think Kevin is a great part of the racing experience because every Sunday morning he gets you in that mood and he gets you excited and ready to ride.
Kevin means a lot, his ministry for everyone here at the track. We get to have our church service in the morning and get ready for the day, and it's just really a blessing, and we love him.
I'd just like to thank Kevin Cozad for coming out every weekend, him and his family. They pretty much show up at every race, every weekend. I look forward to going to his service every Sunday, so come out and check it out.
Kevin, we really appreciate you coming out. My boys really enjoy your services, and I really appreciate you coming out. You do a great job.
I just want to say how much I appreciate Kevin Cozad coming out every weekend to the races and doing the church services.
Kevin Cozad always comes as many races as he can and ministers for us. He does a great job bringing the ministry to the races, and we sure appreciate him coming.
I like how he's here because, I mean, since we can't go to church on Sunday mornings and stuff, it's able to give us time to pray and help us out for the graces and just make it a good day. But make the Lord with us.
My family and I would like to thank you for allowing us to share our vision and our ministry with you. MXers for Jesus is something very dear to our hearts and something so much a part of our lives. So we ask you to prayerfully consider being a part of this ministry and partner with us as we carry the gospel of Jesus Christ to the motorcycle industry. Thank you.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Don't you like that? You know, not everybody's going to come to church. Right? And these guys are taking church to them. And I think that's wonderful. Don't you? I want them to take a few minutes and share here. I'm going to go sit down and just let them share. And I want you all to take your time. And Casey, say anything you want to say. And y'all just share. But what happened, as I told you, we hadn't seen these guys for 8 years. Didn't really know them when they were in school. But the Lord. Everybody say the Lord.
The Lord.
We've been talking all these Sunday mornings on being led. Yes. Right? Well, this is the service this morning. And it's all about being led. And when did I call you, Kevin? It's been a few months ago. Do you remember? It was.
I know that the last time it was right before Thanksgiving, like the Wednesday before Thanksgiving.
Right.
But you called about a month before then.
Exactly.
About a month before.
So early fall or something. I had had Kevin come up on my heart and their ministry. It must have been a year ago. And then it came up again. You know, not every day, but it just come up again when I was praying or something. Well, eventually I was doing something else. Wasn't in the office or anything. And it came up. Well, I've learned when something keeps coming up, check on it. So I had Jan, I guess it was. I said, Jan, find out a number for Kevin Cozad Ministries. Well, I think they had to do some searching. Anyway, we found them. And I called him. And I don't know if you were at a race or whatever the first time, but then... it was cell phone, and it was kind of tough getting the thing going. But he said, "Hey, Brother Keith." I said, "What are you doing, man?" And he began to tell. I had not a clue what they were doing or what was going on. And I said, "Well, are you believing for something?" And he said, "Yeah, I am." And he began to describe to me what they're believing for right now. I'm going to let him tell you about it. But when he did, it bore witness with me. And I thought, well, I'm going to believe with you. And we prayed a prayer of agreement. And I said, we're going to get behind you and believe with you for it. Well, another month or two passed, and it was Thanksgiving time. And I was out on the road, I guess, somewhere. And Kevin Cozad came up to me again. And I thought, well, and I kept praying about it. I thought, well, you know, we're supposed to do more than just stand and believe with him. So I called him. I said, can you guys come to the church? We want to help you on this and get behind you. And so he said, yes, they could. And they worked it out. And so they're here. And I'm so glad that y'all are. And I'm just going to go sit down. And I want you to take a few minutes and tell the people about your vision and what's going on. And just feel free. Take your liberty.
Thank you. We appreciate it. We're honored to be here. I appreciate your time. I'll try to be as brief as I can. You want to share everything that you have and everything that God's given you, and all at one time. So, and I'm bad about jumping around. So my wife wrote some notes just to keep me in the right way. And I'm in that jag line. I want to be in that jag.
I want to Escalade.
Oh, okay, the Escalade line. She actually sold her vehicle when we got years ago to get started in this ministry. So to get some things going. So, but you know, like I shared just a little bit ago, you know, I was racing, and my goal in life was to be a racer. I had no other vision. I had no other, you know, all I knew was dirt bikes, motors, engines, and that's all I knew, and that's all I cared about. You know, and you know, that kept me out of a lot of trouble, and that's the way a lot of these guys are. But, you know, I had no other vision in life but that. And then actually how I met my wife was I'd got injured, and was in town, so I asked her out on a date, and she said, well, I'll go out with you on Friday to the football game if you'll come to church with me on Wednesday. And so I thought, well, for a date, you know, I'll do it. You know, I can sit through church, you know. that was my thinking, you know. Long story short of that is we got saved, filled with the Spirit, and involved in church, involved in still racing. I still had a vision of racing. I believed that that's what God would have me doing. I love being on the road. We were on the road from the time I was 12 or 13 until now, basically, except for the times that, you know, about a 4 or 5 year span there. I loved being on the road. I loved racing. So that's what I knew that we would be doing. Well, I didn't know it would be this way. You know, God has a plan, and it's interesting to have it, as you see it fall, as you see it come to plan. But, you know, that was our vision, just to be that. So we're planning on racing, as I said earlier, full-time. We were going to get married. I was still living with my parents. She was living with her parents. And we were able to make a living. I was not making a whole lot at the time. And so we were going to get married and go on the road. Well, at that time, that's when God dealt with us about going to school and learning more about the Word. And then we did that. And, I never thought that I'd be back involved in motocross. It's something I love so much, and I love the people. You know, the Word teaches us, you know, to go into all the world and to preach the gospel. You know, I can't go everywhere, but I can go to my world, you know. And I think that's what God has me doing is, you know, this world of motocross, these guys that are, you know, a lot of them are tattooed up and, you know, earrings everywhere or whatever. You know what I mean? These guys, you know, that's my world. You know, that's where I feel like I'm a part of, and that's where I'm at. And we all have our world that we're a part of. That's what, you know, when God says go into the world, I mean, that's our world. And so that's what we've done. We started out, like I say, all we could do was pray. When we started the ministry, we would go to these tracks. And on an average weekend, you know, there'll be 300 to 600 riders at a local event. You know, and they're always on Sunday. That's the way it's been from conception. You know, they even made a movie on any Sunday, you know. That's a motorcycle movie, and it's always been that way. Well, you know, after I got saved and began to follow after God, I began to realize that there was a gap there that were these people, and a lot of the people at our church services that come are Christian people, good families who are founded on faith and founded on the things that we all believe and know that are so, but they're away from their church. So we try to provide something for them. And then there's also that group, you know, I said the tattooed guys and the, you know, a lot of times those guys won't come to church. You know, we can't get them in. And, you know, they don't want to hear some guy in a suit tell them something, you know. And so, you know, that's my world. You know, God said to go into all to the world. Well, that's my world. And that's who we go to. You know, we have so many people to come that have never, ever been to church, you know, and that's so amazing that, you know, I guess growing up in Alabama, I thought everybody went to church, you know, everybody went to Sunday school, you know, at least, you know, but there's so many people that didn't. Am I skipping around? Am I doing okay? It's easy when you have a message you want to preach, you know, but when you're skipping around. So anyway, you know, the local tracks, there's probably 300 to 600 riders. And at the major event, we just came back from an event in Thanksgiving. There was, I think there was 2,000, a little over 2,000 entries on once. It was a total for the week. It was a week-long race. It was almost 4,000 entries. So, you know, some of those entries are doubled because sometimes you have people who ride more than one class. So you on average say there was 2,000 to 3,000 riders at the race. Well, each rider brings one to two people. They average three people per rider. So you can guess how many people were at this event all week. Well, we have an opportunity. We did church for them on Sunday. We did church every day on Wednesday night. I mean, we did something every week. And so, you know, the thing about the ministry for us is that all these people are at these races, whether they're saved or whether they're unsaved, they're going to be at these races. You know, I mentioned that the guy number 98 on the Yamaha, good Christian family. Well, his vision is to be the next big-time pro racer. And I believe he will be that way because he's putting God first in his life. And that's what God, I believe, has for him. Now, you know, you never know. You know, I mean, God has a lot of things planned. And I believe this guy is going to be one of those guys because he's so strong in his faith. And, you know, this family will not be able to be at church. They're gone every weekend. I think this year we were gone 46 weekends this year, not including the weeks that we were gone. So when we leave out to go, we kind of all fought. We all kid with one another. Everybody in the industry, we all say we're gypsies, you know. We kind of go from town to town, you know. We live, you know, in this town for a while, and we just move to the next town. It's just a line of motorhomes that go to the next race. And so these people are not, our vision, or, you know, God's vision for this is these people don't have an opportunity for church. They don't have an opportunity to come down and sit down like you are, and hearing the Word. And, you know, so we want to go there and provide that for them. That's what God has given us, that vision, that to go into all the world. Well, this is my world. This is our world that we love. This is the people that we care about. You know, these are the people, just as, you know, as Brother Moore and Phyllis, they think about, I'm sure, you know, I know Every morning when they wake up, they think about you guys. You know, they think about this church and they think about what's going on. Well, that's how we are with them. Every day I think about a kid in California that I spoke with a month ago, or he emails me. I've been on the phone and emailed this all weekend because today there's a race going on and I'm not there, but we have somebody there. Another vision that MXers for Jesus for us is that we want to start a local chapter in every state. We try to do all the amateur nationals, which we do. I think there's 9 or 10 that we do, the major events, several other local events. Well, what we're trying to do is, and actually this morning in Florida, down in, I think it's in Okeechobee, Florida, there's a race going on. It's the only place you can race where it's not so cold. There's a race going on this morning. I believe that's where it is. And we have a family down there doing MXers for Jesus Florida chapter. And so our vision, our furthermore vision is that we want to, every state, whether they call it MXers for Jesus or they can call it whatever they want to, but we'll let them kind of come under our covering and everything if that helps them. Because these people, you know, this man runs a business. His family are, you know, just involved in racing. And he's not called to full-time ministry, but he's called to be, you know, he says, my calling is to be at these races when you're not there. So that's kind of another vision that we have, is that we can do this in every state, you know, and that way, whether there's a race going on in Arizona or Georgia, there is somebody there doing church for these people. Because as I said, you know, there's such a wide variety of, amen, yes, there's such a wide variety of people there. And, you know, and we were surprised there's so many more church people at the services than we ever thought. We thought that we were going in and going to be more evangelistic, and we are that. But, you know, Lord, we're teaching the word, and rather than, you know, there's so many there that are already saved. And then there's the ones that are not, and that's so amazing to us. We have so many of them. We have a picture that we didn't notice this, but we were showing it to some of our supporters, that Casey had just took pictures of our service. And in the background, she just went behind everybody to take a picture. And there's this man with a couple of things of alcohol, you know, stuck in his back pocket. And I think he had one in his hand. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the guy asked me, he goes, well, what did you say to that guy? I didn't say nothing to him. You know, God told us to go there and to love on those people and to teach the word. And the word will change their life. The word will change what's going on. And that's what's such a blessing to us. I mean, we love to be there with these people and to teach them. And, you know, we've had promoters get saved with us, which, you know, one of the promoters there on the video is a great guy, a Christian man that's actually a congressman in the AMA, which is a sanctioning body. We've had promoters and riders and different people get saved. And, you know, when you see them go out, it's like, even though, you know, we're a moving church. It's like I see them and I get to be a part of what they're doing as they're up there winning a race and thanking God for helping them and being with them. It's just, you know, we try to be a church away from home for them, because a lot of them do have home churches, and we want them to be a part. We encourage them getting involved in their home church. We encourage that, but we try to be that church away from home, that you know, church that they could come to at the races and provide that for them. Am I skipping? We doing good? Okay. And so that kind of leads us into, I guess, how we got hooked up and with the Moores, and that what we're believing for. Right now, we have a motorhome and a trailer that we travel in. We carry, like I said, for years, all we did was pray and read a few scriptures, and then we had to get out of the way, basically. They wanted us moved to now where we have promoters calling us and asking us to come, which is God's favor. You know, I was just some guy from Alabama reading the Bible. You know, I didn't know. You know, we were just going into these tracks. We went into the place in Las Vegas. There's another promoter there that people told us that we would never, ever do church at that place, because the guy's just real hard-nosed. He doesn't care anything. He don't want to hear nothing about God. He wants to race. A lot of the people don't even like the guy, because I'm not going to tell you what event it is, so that way, you know, a lot of people don't even like the guy, but he kind of holds this event, and all the manufacturers sponsor it, so you have to go. And we called him, and I asked him, hey, I want to come and do church. He said, come on. I mean, you know, a man that they said I would never even get to talk to or even get to minister at, we called him, and I just prayed. I mean, as I picked the phone up, I said, Lord, I just thank you for favor. And I was like, I had to call then, you know what I mean? I couldn't stop and pray. I couldn't do anything. It's like when I grabbed the phone, I had to call. And I just said, Lord, thank you for favor. We called him. Now we do church for him. I actually spoke to him yesterday on the phone. because he's going through cancer treatment and telling him that we're praying for him and that we're believing God for him. And I almost could not get off the phone with him, you know, and I just wanted to tell him we were praying for him. And he talked and talked, you know, and so you know, God is opening these doors for us. Well, we take and we now get the whole church for them. We have a sound system. We have two tents, which make it a 20 by 20. And then we have about 100 chairs that we go and set up. And we have different, because my wife and I are not blessed to sing. We have people come in for us at a lot of the events and sing. We have a lot of local people around that will sing for us. A lot of the moms and the dads at the races will sing for us. And we have, so we get to have praise and worship. We get to have church with a sound system. I have walls for the tent when it's cold. And so in this motorhome that we were blessed with, we started out with a pickup truck. And then we got an old motorhome, like an 84 model motorhome that was, I mean, I don't think I would leave town in it now. But, you know, we would just pray and we would take, I mean, the thing was terrible. And we couldn't let them, they couldn't go because it had such an exhaust leak that it's, you know, it smelled so bad in there. We got that fixed. Well, you know, God paid that off for us. So we got a new motorhome. Well, that motorhome's a gas and it's got about 78,000 miles on it. And we've kind of seen the better years of it. And then we pull this huge trailer that has all this stuff in it. So what we set up church at this vehicle. So our vehicle is our church. You know, this is as important and as functional as this building is. That's what our vehicle is our church. You know, yes, it's beautiful. It's nice to have a beautiful building, and that's what you want because that's what God wants. But it's also very functional. You know, you can come sit down in a controlled environment and have church. Well, that's what our vehicle is because we're on the road at so many months at a time. We want a different type vehicle. And one reason for that vehicle, that type, the reason we want that is all the manufacturers come in, like whether it's Honda, Kawasaki, Yamaha, they have big trucks, big semis, and they have kind of a vendor area where they park all these vehicles. Well, we've been blessed enough they let us park in there. But we kind of, you know, there's a little motorhome and a little trailer in beside these big semis. So what we want is not like a semi, but it's more of a truck with like a semi-truck front end that has a motorhome with a box, kind of an enclosed box van type deal in the back. And we can carry all the tents and the chairs in there. And that's kind of what we were believing for when Brother Keith called. And that's what I was believing for. Because as more and more of these events are getting bigger and bigger, there it is. That's one of the vehicles. It's like a Freightliner diesel truck front end. And the benefit to that is that, you know, you can go to any Freightliner dealer, any diesel mechanic in the world can work on it. It's basically just a simple truck engine. And then you can see where the windows are. It's all living quarters. You know, there's a bed and refrigerator, just like a regular motorhome would be. Man, you're good timing. I like that. That's what's in there, that we can live in. And then, I don't think I have a picture of it, but behind all that is just a box, basically. It's just a garage is what they call it, with a big door, with a lift gate. Yeah, okay. And that way we can store all of our tents and chairs in. And that way we have one vehicle. We don't have two. And the benefit of that is that's what a lot of the manufacturers have when they go and set up. So we kind of look like part of that. And then our next vision is they have an awning on them, then we'll put our tents out. They also have another tent that comes off the side of these awnings. A lot of the manufacturers, if you ever see TV of NASCAR, how they have their big awnings, drag racing. Well, those awnings are like $20,000. Well, one for that one's about $10,000 for an awning. So our next belief is that we're going to have that awning with MXers for Jesus wrote across the top of it, that we can have that. So that's kind of, I guess, the long and the short of our vision is that we want this vehicle that, because we are on the road so much for months at a time, and that we usually make two trips across the country, you know, at least two complete trips a year. I think I'm not stretching anything. That's true. That's factual. We make two trips across the country, and during that time, we want to have a diesel that's easier to drive, that lasts longer. Because, you know, you take a couple of trips across the country, you're almost at 10,000 miles, you know, and that's in a two-week period, you know, or something. You know, one trip, you know, about 4,000 or 5,000 miles, isn't it? So that's kind of our belief. That's what we're believing for. When Brother Keith mentioned to us and asked me what we were believing for, That's what MXers for Jesus is believing for. We want it to have a bigger presence. We want to be as cool as those manufacturers are. You know, amen, yes. We want them to see that this ministry and that Jesus is cooler than all that. And so we want to have that presence because the teenagers hang out at our pits. I think last week we were up every morning at daylight getting ready to did church every morning. Well, you know, we're ready to go to bed when you're up that early, you know, at 8 o'clock. Well, at 10 o'clock, there's still people in our motorhome hanging out. But that's what we want it to be. That's what MXers for Jesus is about. We want to care of Jesus to them. We want to show God's love to them. We want to love on them. We're not there to do anything but tell them God loves them and the Word will change them, you know. And that's what we're believing for. That's what MXers for Jesus is about. I hope I did a fairly good job of trying to tell us what we're about. And I appreciate your time. I appreciate you giving us this opportunity. It's a big honor for us.
Yes,
and,
sir.
Thank you.
Wonderful. Good, good. Did you want to say anything else, Casey? Or? Okay. Glory to God. Thanks, guys. Y'all can take a seat if you like. How many think that's a great ministry? Do you believe it? How many have a witness that we ought to get behind this? And when he told me about this vehicle, I had a witness that we should do something about this. Amen. Is that okay with you? I want to turn to a scripture, and I want us to get ready to have an offering. And I want you to get ready to think and see what the Lord would have you do on this. In 3 John, the third epistle of John, there's something here that I think fits this perfectly. Third epistle of John, just one chapter, verse 1. 3 John, verse 1. The elder to the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth. Beloved, I wish above all things that you may prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. Is prosperity the will of God?
Yes.
Outside prosperity and inside prosperity and physical prosperity. Verse 3, I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in you, even as you walk in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Beloved, you do faithfully whatever you do to the brothers and to strangers, which have borne witness of the charity before your charity before the church, whom if you bring forward on their journey after a godly sort, you shall do well. Because they went for his name's sake, that for his name's sake they went forth, taking nothing of the Gentiles. We therefore ought to receive such that we might be fellow helpers to the truth. Amen. Can you say amen? Another translation said that you should bring them forward on their journey in a way worthy of God's service. Another one said, send them on their way in a manner that pleases God. Amen. How many think they ought not have the oldest, most wore out truck on the circuit? Amen. Representing the Lord? Right? There ought to be something nice that represents the Lord. And they've got this on their heart. It looks like a vehicle that would serve them well right now. And this vehicle is about 130,000. Did I say that right? About 130,000, which is less. This one's, is it a year or two old?
Not quite a year old.
Not quite a year old. Almost like new. A new one would be more, I suppose. Another one they looked at was like 180. But they're thinking pretty strong about this one for 130,000. Everybody say, that's not much for the Lord. 130,000. And I really feel that we should jump on this with both feet. I believe this is true Christmas spirit, if you want to call it that. Amen. That we're reaching out beyond ourselves. And this is really supernatural. Because, you know, we've had no contact with these guys for 8 years. And I had not a clue what they were doing. But it's God. Amen. I believe, you know, some people do some of these things, but they just kind of dabble with it and play with it. They're not really called to it. These guys are called to this. Amen. That's their church and that's their ministry. So, I want us to receive an offering this morning unto the Lord, to their ministry. And I want us to get behind them and put our faith on this and believe for this to come in.